It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hour number two, Drew Hill filling in for Jeff Calkins on 92.9 FM ESPN. I now welcome on my co-host of the Daily Memphians Memphis Grizzlies podcast, Chris Harrington. Chris? Chris, what is the somber song that we are listening to?
That's Nothing Matters When We're Dancing by the Magnetic Fields, one of their 69 love songs. That's for people who would like to turn the page to the big dance today and to try to forget about what the Grizzlies did last night, although we'll talk about it for a little bit.
Yeah, well, we obviously we're going through it this morning. On the station, it was a pretty rough one, and an especially rough one to stay up late and watch. Before we get to that, I know I asked you on the podcast if you had any tournament picks. You had not done it yet, but I assume you've done it now. Can you tell us your national champion this year, Chris?
I went Florida. I think I had Florida over Michigan State, but I didn't feel great about that. And then I had, in the final, I had Florida over Tennessee and Tennessee beating Duke. Mostly because I just didn't want to pick Duke to get to the final game. I figured everyone was doing that, so I wanted to mix it up a little bit. I toyed with your Alabama. I can't remember which bracket they were in. I think they were in the bracket with Duke. Is that right?
Yeah.
No.
I don't trust my Alabama team this year. We're a little bit too much of a roller coaster.
But really, they are, yes. They are, Chris. They're in Duke's. They're in the East with Duke.
Okay. So, I, as I told you on the Grizzlies Pod, for people who haven't heard that, my theory of the NCAA tournament, as someone who does not watch a lot of college basketball, and in some years watches very little, which this is one of those years, is I, in tribute to Tony Allen, I'm on the lookout for the Ty Jeromes of the world, and the Jalen Brunsons of the world, and the Cam Spencer and Tristan Newtons of the world. I'm basically looking for upperclassmen guards who are considered NBA prospects. And so I look at the draft boards and say, like, who are the junior and senior point guards who are, like, on draft boards? And so, like, you know, Florida has one of those, and Duke has one of those, Alabama has one of those. Tennessee is not a point guard, but they've got, like, a senior guard who's a draft prospect among other NBA prospects. So I'm really looking for those kind of guys. Those kind of guys tend to be on the national title teams. You know, Jared Butler and Davion Mitchell back in the day.
Yeah, it feels like this is a good spot, since you mentioned that, to shout out Cam Jones, who played here at ECS, now at All-American, senior guard at Marquette, who's a 7 seed. So you might get Michigan State and Marquette in that second round if they can win. He's had an unbelievable college career, and I just wrote a long feature on him. But that's another one. Let's make sure we include Cam Jones on that list and Marquette. But all right, Chris, enough tournament talk. We've got to get to the Memphis Grizzlies. It was pretty miserable last night. What was your viewing experience like?
Yeah, no, I mean, there's a lot of history over the years of, like, the late-night West Coast games that they lose, and you're like, did I really stay up for this? I feel that pain. I've experienced that pain many times over the years, where they tease you just enough, like, you know, to keep you there until close to the end. You know, there's a lot going on. I wrote a column this morning that'll be up later today where I identified 5 problems the Grizzlies are having right now, all of which you can see in that game, but aren't exclusive to that game. And, like, you know, and a lot of it's interrelated. But, you know, does that game turn out differently if Ja Morant plays in it? Does the Kings game turn out differently if Ja Morant plays in it? Since the trade deadline, they played 19 games. They've only had only eight of the 19 that they had Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, and Jaren Jackson Jr. all on the floor. And there are other issues that the team was having, clearly. But, like, to me, that's sort of the first one. It's like they, in over 70 games this season, they've had 30 with all 3 of those guys on the floor. And it's hard to know how good your team can really be when you don't have your best players playing together that often.
I just don't know. Like, the problem is, though, you ask whether or not they can win the games with Ja out there. The problem is that the defensive efforts have just remained the same no matter who's on the court.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I wrote about five problems. That's only one of them, you know?
Right. Yeah. It is hard to break down. And I mentioned this at the top, and Jeff said he believes that I guess the team is in a worse spot than when they started the season, given the fact that we've had some questions answered and they've had negative results. But it is funny to think back, like, we were wondering what this team was going to be at the start of the season because they had just come off what was a totally lost year. You had people picking them to finish, you know, first, second in the West. You also had people picking them to miss the playoffs entirely, you know. And it feels like here we are, March 20th, approaching the end of the season, and we still have more questions unanswered. We still can't answer that question in particular. What is this team? You know, is this team capable of living up to the expectations of those that view them highly, or are they not? I still don't think we can answer that.
Well, the situation on the wing has cratered really over the course of the season, and this is all the other stuff is sort of interrelated to each other. Like, the wing problem is related to the defensive problem, which is related to the rotation uncertainty problem. It's all sort of interrelated. But the wing situation is cratered, and the sense that the team, you think the team is supposed to find out more about who it is over the course of a season, and by the time you get to, like, 12 games out or 10 games out, or I guess we're 12 games out, like, you sort of know who you are and what you're doing, and it feels like they're scrambling through the course of the games more than ever now. Like, you get to the second half of that game, and John Conjar, who's been out of the rotation almost all season, is suddenly, like, in the opening lineup to start the second half in place of your starting center, Zach Edey. And that's not, like, a one-off. There's been several games lately where guys who were not in the Conjar's in the rotation initially that game, but there have been guys who are not even in the rotation in the first time through who suddenly you're throwing out there because, like, you're just trying to find something that works. And suddenly Jay Huff pops into a game, and Cam Spencer pops into a game, and Lamar Stevens pops into a game. In some cases, that stuff has worked. But even when it's work, it's a sign of a team not really functioning the way it wants to be functioning, because you're having to scramble through the game. And in terms of the wing situation, like, you know, you thought Marcus Smart and Vince Williams were going to be the guys, and then Jake LaRavia was playing great early, and now, like, LaRavia's gone, and Smart's gone, and Williams isn't healthy. And Jalen Wells' shooting has come back to earth, and you're throwing out John Conjar and Lamar Stevens and some of this stuff. And, you know, it just, instead of coming together, a lot of it's come apart, both in terms of the rotation, in terms of the team defense, in terms of so many things.
Yeah, you know, the wing stuff is interesting, too, because, I mean, in hindsight, it'd be really nice for the Grizzlies to have a guy like Jake LaRavia right now, right? That they had to make that decision early in the season. That was before they had seen what Gigi and Vince had looked like when they got back out on the court. That was while they still had Marcus Smart, and he hadn't really played in games, but you thought maybe he might get on the court and be useful. And none of that, like, I don't blame them at all for putting the bet on Gigi and Vince. But it's just that Jake wasn't going to be that expensive, right, to keep around.
Right.
And so, to me, that feels like it was, in hindsight, probably something that they should have done. Do you agree?
Well, it seems like there was an expectation. I mean, obviously, the not doing the contract, not doing the team option for next season sort of is what led into all this. But even at that point, remember, I mean, you would hear, like, you know, we could still bring him back, even though we could only offer the 1 year. But on top of that, what happened was they thought that he was going to get pushed down the pecking order by Vince Williams and by Gigi Jackson. And maybe at one point, you know, Marcus Smart, you thought maybe he would still be around at one point early in the season. And you just thought you'd look up and Jake LaRavia would be your 13th man. And what we see now is that if those trades didn't happen, Jake LaRavia would not be your 13th man. He might be in the starting lineup. I mean, he might be your 6th man, 7th man, 8th man. He was not going to get pushed down because the other guys have not been able to play at that level. And so, like, you traded a guy you thought would not be in your rotation anyway, but he would very much be in your rotation right now.
Where do you think this team stands in terms of the buy-in? Like, if to me, some of these games, like Jeffrey and I talked about it in the opening segment, just felt like the effort from the very beginning of the game was not there for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, I mean,
do you have concern that this has gone, that this is spiraling so much that Taylor's lost them?
Well, we had hit four of my problems I wrote about, and now we just got to the fifth one, which is these flat starts. They have trailed at the end of the first quarter in 10 of their last 14 games, and it feels like the only game in that stretch, which is like a month-long stretch at this point, the only game in that stretch where they've come out crisp and, like, seized the game from the jump and kept it the whole way, which they were doing a lot early in the season. The only time in the last month they've done that is that game against Miami until the Tony Allen retirement night. And it feels like a lot of these games, and last night to me is one of the best examples of it. The Grizzlies are in the thick of this race in that 2, 3, 4, 5 range, right? The Blazers are probably not even going to make the play-in. And the Blazers had more intensity at the start of that game than the Grizzlies did. And they came out and punched the Grizzlies in the mouth, and it felt like the Grizzlies needed to be down 10 points before they started playing with urgency, before the closeout started to get quicker. And even then, they couldn't hold it. It was fitful. Like, they had rally and, like, the defense would tighten up for a few minutes and then it would fall back again. And to some degree, it's hard to separate the effort from the ability, because another thing in that game is that Tumani Kamara and Shaedon Sharpe, the starting wings for Portland, just made the Grizzlies look small and slow by comparison. And I think that's part of it. But if you are smaller and slower, you have to play harder. And the defensive cohesion, the defensive intensity, the quickness and urgency of the closeouts, the Grizzlies just haven't been able to sustain that stuff for 48 minutes. It's like it takes them 10 minutes to find it, and then when they find it, they lose it again after 3 minutes. And so whether that's buy-in or whatever, however you want to characterize it, the kind of playoff-level intensity you need to sustain on the defensive end, they have not been sustaining. That is clear.
To me, the most, you know, I guess damning or like the most frustrating and thing that I think I see from the fans in terms of just them going crazy is the fact that the same problems seem to be the same problems every single night, right? That the rebounding continues to be a problem. The fact that they give up way too many wide open three pointers continues to be a problem. And to me, that just suggests a lack of effort more so, and a lack of attention to detail more so than a skill gap. I don't know. Is that the case? Do you think that's the case, or is it schematically just the way it works?
Well, I think there is, in a lot of these games, especially on the perimeter, an athleticism gap that the Grizzlies are on the wrong side of. And I think in a lot of these games, not all of them, but a lot of, they're playing a lot of young dudes. there's an experience gap too. And I think to overcome the athleticism and experience gap they sometimes have requires the extra effort. You have to have the effort to overcome some of that stuff. And so I think it's both, but I think the effort sort of has to be there. And frankly, when you get to the playoffs, even if you don't have the other stuff to overcome, you just have to raise your effort anyway. And so the intensity of the cohesion and the effort on defense, the consistency of that is obviously just not there right now.
So that was the first time the Grizzlies have not scored 100 points in 71 games. They had scored 100 in every game prior this season. That snapped the longest streak in franchise history. Obviously, the fourth quarter, 3-for-23 with one field goal until garbage time was rough. So you come up just short of 100 points. Playing at that pace, obviously, it takes some very almost unbelievable inefficiencies in order to get there. But I'm just curious, what have you made of the offense overall this season? Because they're scoring a lot of points, but I think there's also some frustrations with the way that sort of this has come together, the frustrations with the way that they utilize Ja, the turnovers, etc. Do you think that this offense has been a success?
It's been a mixed bag. They play at such a fast pace, and the league plays at such a fast pace that I just think the total number is just sort of not worth thinking about too much. Like, it's a lot easier to score 99 points in a game now than it was 15 years ago, And so I don't care that much about the total point number they're putting up. I think the per possession, it's been good all season. That's really not been their problem. And really what we've wondered about is how's it going to look, in playoff basketball. I think when they've had problems in last night is not an indicator, but on the season when they've had problems, it's been because of the turnovers. It's been that the turnovers have sort of have sapped what they're otherwise doing on offense. And so I think on the whole, the question has been more about, Ja Morant excelling within the offense and how it's going to look in playoff basketball. They've had some more struggles recently, I guess, than some of the shooting stuff. But over the course of the whole season, I think people are going to be mad when you're losing basketball games. But the offensive performance has been good over the whole of the season.
Yeah, when you have more possessions, when you play at a faster pace, it maximizes whatever efficiency you might have, right? Because there's going to be more over the course of a game. It's something that, frankly, a lot of people are going to talk about with the NCAA tournament, is like some of these teams are going to play so slow against the top teams in the country because they just want to limit the amount of possessions, give themselves a better chance to win because they know on an efficiency basis, it's not – they're not going to be able to keep up if there's a ton of possessions in the game. Grizzlies have been really good at creating a lot of possessions. It's just that last night, part of the problem was they played so fast, they shot it quickly, and they didn't get back on defense, and they gave up transition layup after transition layup. And it's like, if you're going to run the floor, you better be able to run back. And that's where they got lost last night.
Well, I've been somewhat circumspect all season about their insistence on such a fast pace. I just don't know. They think that works to their benefit in terms of getting better shots, which it may be the case, but I feel like the turnover problem has been connected to that. I don't have any sense that the Grizzlies playing at such a fast pace has worn down the other teams relative to the Grizzlies. I think the transition defense stuff has been notable to me. So my instinct all season is that they've sort of overdone it a little bit on the extreme pace. I think you want to play at a good tempo. You want to get opportunities in transition. When John Morant's your point guard, you want him to run. But I almost feel like the pace stuff, that the level of pace they've pursued has had some negative effects.
So has there been an overreaction, I guess, to what happened last night? Is this a prisoner of the moment type of thing? And the Grizzlies still can pull this together, at this stage, is it what it is, and it feels like the Grizzlies are headed on their way out?
It's hard for me to gauge whether something's an overreaction or not if I don't know what reaction you're talking to, right? Talking about, like every person has a different reaction, and so I haven't really read the social media stuff. I'm sure, it's hard to compete it's hard to compete at the level of reaction, either positive or negative. Like I will always lose the adjective battle when it comes to being applying a strong adjective to things in good times and bad, just because people get so revved up. And it's like, I don't know, are people calling this an unspeakable tragedy of, like, you know, that humanity has never seen before or something?
I think embarrassing. Embarrassing has been put out there online. I saw pathetic a few times last night. And to me, it's like, I can't fully go all the way out because this team still has three players plenty capable of winning a playoff series. Maybe they're not a contender the way that we viewed them, and I feel back in December, and I feel pretty safe saying that. But I still think they have enough talent to put the pieces back together at this point and finish the season on a high note. But I don't think that there's a lot of positivity in that direction right now.
Yeah, there tends to. I mean, they have been worse since the trade deadline. They're 8-11 since the trade deadline. Their offense and defensive numbers have both declined. I mean, it's real problems. But at the same time, like, you know, people probably felt good the next day after they blew Miami off the floor. And they're not that long far removed from, like, a four-game winning streak where John Morant was awesome four games in a row and people felt good. And within that 8-11 since the trade deadline, or, like, what, the three or four straight losses by, like, last-second shots from the other team, that if those go the other way, suddenly you have a winning record since the deadline. I think the team has real problems, you know, in terms of their defense, in terms of their youth, in terms of their wing situation. I also think that if John Morant, Desmond Bane, and Jaren Jackson are all healthy and playing heavy minutes and carrying the load in the playoffs, like, they could win a first-round series. So, I think that possibility is still there. I have a hard time seeing the upside beyond that, given the issues that they've had. But I still think that Morant, Bane, and Jackson are good enough that they're all healthy and they're all playing well. They can really do something. But, you know, I don't know if we're going to get that, you know. I mean, Jaws played a grand total of six straight games once all season, and now he's out again. So I just don't know what we're going to get.
Memphis is one back of the three and the four spots, Denver and Los Angeles. They are two back of the number two spot, which is Houston. Is it wishful thinking to be looking ahead at this point? And should the Grizzlies be really looking behind at the teams that trail? I think the Clippers are in the last play-in spot, 3.5 back at this point.
Well, it's certainly tightened up, and so I think you got to look in both directions. I mean, they still have more room to go. They're closer to moving up than moving down still, but the trend lines are not good. I have a hard time seeing them. I guess I could see them get to six if they keep struggling. I have a hard time seeing them fall below that because, I mean, that requires not only the Grizzlies to continue struggling, but two teams behind them to play well enough to pass them. And you're talking about, you know, losing by three or four games over the course of, like, 12. That's kind of hard to do. But, you know, they might be capable of it.
All right, Chris. I appreciate it. We'll be talking to you tomorrow. Enjoy the day of college basketball, my friend.
All right, thanks.
Did that make you feel any better or worse, Jeffrey?
I mean, Chris is usually going to play it pretty down the middle, and I think Chris is acknowledging they have significant issues.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's like, what is the fix to everything we're talking about?
Win on Friday, beat the LA Clippers, distance yourself from the play-in again.
Yeah, but I'm talking about. But I'm talking.
Jeff will be in here Monday talking about sunshine and rainbows.
I'm talking bigger picture, though.
Yeah.
Because I think you make a very good point because on the one hand, the Grizzlies with Ja, they're 28-13. The Grizzlies without Ja, they're 15-14. So, like, there is kind of the dumb sports thing where you can just be like, well, they just need Ja back, which is obviously true. They need their best player back or their most significant player back. But the issues are still going to be there. They're not stopping anyone. And we had a listener respond, and I think this is a reasonable question to ask. It was at BSK2K. My theory is the new offense ruined our defense. If you're practicing every day, guarding this new style of offense, then you aren't practicing playing defense against pick and roll and other schemes. You become complacent to let a lot of scoring happen because that's what your offense creates. I don't hate that.
I don't necessarily think it's the practice part of it, but I do think that's part of what I just mentioned to Chris, which was that when you play at a pace that fast, you've got to get back defensively. You're taking a lot of shots. You're trying to maximize, you know, your points per possession. And in doing so, you can't give up wide open layups on the other end, which is what they did last night. Now, that hasn't been the problem all season. It's been the problem in a few of these games. The other problem is that Zach Edey's getting picked on right now. If we're just being honest, opponents are just putting him in the pick and roll the minute that they see it, and Grizzlies are still switching.
I mean, to me, that's true, but they're also getting picked on when he's not out there. Like, it would be different to me if just when Zach's out there, they were giving up points, but it's not. And to me, I think the bigger issue is the types of players they value, like, who is truly a defensive first player on the team other than Jaren? And now Jaren's become all-rounded.
Vince.
Okay. How's he doing?
Jalen Wells.
I mean, I think of more of Jalen as a shooter. Like, I think he can play defense. But
I think he's a more advanced player defensively than he is offensively at this point.
I can buy that because offensively, if he's not shooting, he doesn't bring a ton of value. Right. He's not really a creator.
Santi's an offensive player. Bane, offensive player. Morant, Kennard. Pippen's a defensive player.
Because, like, to me, it's like, when I look at, like, what is it about the Thunder that are so good? And to me, it's like, honestly, other than SGA, and I know people, like, point to, like, look at SGA's steals and whatnot. It's like, everyone on that team can defend. And that's how you get stops. And their biggest problem is they don't get stops.
That's not been the problem over Taylor Jenkins' tenure, but it has become the problem now.
And then, like, that's kind of the other deal. It's like, my biggest problem with the offense is it feels like, to me, that their solution of, listen, we're not a great half-court offense. That's what's hurt us in the playoffs. We have to get better in the half-court. It was like, it's a scheme solution. And you will never convince me that there's a scheme answer for half-court offense in the playoffs. Maybe half-court offense throughout the regular season. But in the end, what it always comes down to is someone has to make a shot, a tough shot, short shot clock, not a good look. So they've tried to answer a deficiency, which is they can't shoot collectively. They have a few shooters, but collectively they're not a good shooting team. They've tried to answer it with scheme, and I just don't ever think that's going to work.
I think that when you look at the Grizzlies defensively, one of the big problems is you were banking on Vince and or Marcus being your defensive stopper on the wing. And now when you put and neither of those worked out, right? Marcus never truly looked engaged with the Grizzlies this year. I think it's hard to be a leader on the court when a leader in the locker room when you're not on the court.
I agree.
They eventually moved on. They cut their losses and said, we're trading him. And then with Vince, he's just never looked healthy. So now you're down to Scottie Pippen Jr., who, by the way, was great last night and has given them a strong effort on a night-in and night-out basis and deserves a ton of respect for doing that, even given the current spiral that the team is in. But Scottie's not a big guy.
No, I mean,
and they're going to run into problems in the playoffs without the size.
He's an undersized two guard that's playing the point because of his size. Like, he's never been a point guard. Like, at Vanderbilt, he wasn't a point guard. He was a two guard. And I second and echo everything you say. He has earned everything that he's been given this year. And he's not one of the guys that you sit back and you watch last night and you go, man, where's the effort? Like, you see it with him. But, like, I also think it's fair to sit there and go, all right, Vince didn't stay healthy last year. Like, they made a choice to get rid of Marcus Smart, and they can spin it however they want, but the reality is, if you said Marcus and a first-round pick, you could have made a deal this summer. They didn't have to make the deal, and they made a choice.
and they made a choice to get rid of Laravia. It's like, okay, but they made bets. And the problem is,
they bet on the guys that everyone would have bet on, by the way. They bet on Gigi and Vince, and I don't blame them at all for that. It's just that has not worked out at all.
I took heat for this last year when everyone wants to point out, look at Gigi, look at Vince, look at all this. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. This is not high leverage basketball. Teams did not game prep for the Grizzlies last year. Like, they just came in like, all right, come in, get Memphis, get out of here. That's what they did. Like, that's not real basketball. And so it's why I just didn't put a ton of stock into it. Does it mean, like, I'm unhappy if Gigi goes and gets 35 on national TV? No, but I'm also not going to sit there and go, move over, Kobe.
Right. Well, I think there's still reason to be excited about those players, and they can still be meaningful NBA players. But when they're not healthy, which they both have dealt with big injuries this year, and especially when you're 20 years old, in the case of Gigi,
bingo.
It's easy to get ahead of yourself as 100%. A fan, you know?
But that was not, and that's the thing. It's like, and when people can overdo the word timeline, it's a problem in which Gigi would probably be better served on a losing team and learning how to play. But that's not where this team is.
Right.
And that's kind of the biggest problem that I have with whether it's Taylor, whether it's the organization, however you want to phrase it. This isn't the G League right now. And they're so hell-bent on trying to develop. It's like, I'm not saying that that's a worthless endeavor. But you are at the point now where it's about winning games.
Well, I don't think that that's necessarily where they are. I mean, they've got Gigi playing in the G League.
But for instance, to Chris's point, you watched the Grizzlies last night. I don't know, how many guys got minutes before garbage time? 12?
Yeah, well, Brandon Clark got hurt, so you had an extra.
Okay,
yeah.
But we're still talking about 11.
Yep. Yeah, no, I agree. This is a point I made on the podcast with Chris earlier this week. I wish that they would just pick 8 and go with it and say, this is going to be our playoff rotation. We're going to try to get it ready.
Fine-tune it.
Right now. And if they struggle, you leave them out there because it's not going very well anyway. And I don't even necessarily feel like trying to pull whichever player out of the bag that they can and plug and play and find somebody that's playing hard that night isn't a formula, I think, that's going to get you ready for the postseason. But again, they've been dealing with injuries, guys in and out, availability all over the place. So they haven't really had an opportunity to do that. And that's, to me, the most disappointing thing about the way that this has gone. It's like, cause it feels like maybe they can pull it together. But every time that happens, it's like they don't have the sum of their pieces.
Yep.
So are they ever going to be able to pull it together? It still remains the question of the season. We've been talking about it for a month now. We're going to continue talking about it. Hopefully they can get a win on Friday against the Clippers so we can stop talking about it and everybody can come back in here on Monday and feel a little bit better about the team. But obviously not the most fun day to be coming in here talking about the Grizzlies after that performance last night. All right, we got to do Right or the Right trivia.
Indeed.
We'll do that when we come back.
Hold on, we need a caller. So we'll take caller number 2, 901-445-0929, 901-445-0929. Caller number 2 will be our contestant on Right or the Right trivia. Kevin Cerrito next, right here on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Kevin Cerrito is the master of fun and games here in the Memphis area. The website, CerritoEntertainment.com. Follow him on Twitter on X at Cerrito. Kevin, good day, sir.
Hey, Jeffrey. How are you this morning? Big day, big day, big day.
March big day, Madness. Big day for all. All right, we're kind of up against it, so we'll save the plugs for the end. We're going to welcome Jamie and Bartlett. Jamie, welcome to the show. I'm handing it over to Kevin to run the game. Here we go.
All right. Let's do this. Right out of the right trivia. Your job is to get more right than Jeffrey. If you do, you win. Of course, you're going to the Battle of the Birds on Monday at AZP, if you're able to play honorably here today. I'm going to give you the choice of two categories. Whichever one you do not choose will automatically go to Jeffrey. You can steal from him once. He can steal from you once in the event that y'all miss a question. Today's game is in honor of the Memphis Tigers and their number 5 seed. Every answer, Jeffrey, is a 5-letter answer. Every answer today is a 5-letter answer in honor of your Memphis Tigers and that beautiful 5 seed that they got. Food or drink, Jamie? Where do you want to start? Food or drink?
Let's go drink.
Drink. What beer brand launched an ad campaign with a 2017 Super Bowl spot where they extended their name by repeating the last consonant several times?
Oh, I know this.
5-letter answer. Five-letter answer, 2017 Super Bowl spot, beer brand.
Beer brand, Miller.
Nope. Incorrect. Right. Jeffrey, do you remember this? We talked on the radio yesterday. Your strong suit is brands and commercials, Jeffrey.
I'm not going to steal it. I think it's Pabst.
It is not, though. It is not. We're looking for Bush.
Ah, Bush.
Yeah. Bush. It was like the shush at the end of Bush. No points there. As we go to Jeffrey, Thai, sweet, and lemon are common varieties of what herb that no pesto would be complete without?
Basil.
Basil is correct. Jeffrey's on the board. All the answers are 5-letter answers this week in honor of your Memphis Tigers. Do you want politicians or laws, Jamie? Still plenty of time left in this game here. Politicians or laws?
Laws.
Laws. In 1996, a law was passed that protects people's health coverage between jobs and also protects patient privacy. This law is usually abbreviated with what 5-letter acronym? Health coverage between jobs and protects patient privacy.
EWHIC.
That is incorrect. Jeffrey, you've not stolen yet. He's going to steal. What is it?
HIPAA.
HIPAA is correct. HIPAA, HPAA stands for. Do you, does anybody know what it stands for, Jeffrey?
Not a clue.
For a bonus point? Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act.
I had no chance on that.
Oh, my wife is a nurse. Yeah. She's going to kill me for that. Not
That's a
that.
Tough one.
It's a HIPAA violation, missing that question. all right, we're going to a politicians for you, Jeffrey. What muscular dog breed's name is shared with the last name of a U.S. senator named Barbara, who was succeeded by Kamala Harris? It's a California question. Not sure. Was Kamala a senator when you were out in California, Jeff?
No, she's way after me. But I do know this. It's Boxer.
Boxer is correct. Barbara Boxer. Boxer, your five-letter word there. Boxer. Jeffrey, commanding lead here. Do you want, Jamie, still have a shot? So it's March Madness, right? It can take a last-second shot. I can win it for you here. Do you want words or the world?
Words.
Words. What word can be defined as flat, even, equal, or it's a floor of a building? It's a five-letter word, can be defined as either flat, even, equal, or a floor of a building.
Level.
Level is correct. You got a point. Level, L-E-B-E-L, five-letter
word. Listen, Texas led that whole game until they didn't.
Right. The world, Jeffrey. New Delhi is the capital of what country?
India.
India, five-letter word there. India. Is it 3-1?
4-1.
4-1. Yeah, you stole. Oh my goodness. What a fun or fashion?
Yeah.
Fun or fashion, Jamie? Which one you want? Fun or fashion?
Let's go fun.
Fun. Let's have some fun. What small aquatic vessel piloted both for leisure and extreme sports shares its name with a prominent travel company? So what small aquatic vessel shares its name with a prominent travel company?
I would say Sea-Doo, but I know that's not right, but that's what I'm going with.
That is an aquatic vessel, but we're looking for Kayak.
It's
your travel company and also your small aquatic vessel. Kayak.
.com.
In there. Fashion for you, Jeffrey. In the 2000s, Madonna and Paris Hilton popularized velour tracksuits that had what five-letter word prominently written across them?
The only thing I can think of is juicy.
You thought of the right answer. Juicy is correct. And my goodness, we've got what type of score we got here?
5-1.
What is this? 5-1.
He is playing honorably,
though. You're going to wager. He has played honorably. You know, it seems like you could be going to the Redbirds. It's a very good, great baseball score, I guess, if the home team is winning. What, Jeffrey, are you going to wager? You're going to say,
yep.
I think, you know, we're going to play it out. We're play it out.
Since you know what I'm wagering.
Hawkins isn't here. We will play it out. You're wagering one. He's wagering one. Do you want A or B? A or B?
Me or Jeffrey?
Battle I'll categories.
You get to choose.
Yeah, A or B.
I'll take B.
B. Sesame Street's Oscar the Grouch was known for telling people to leave by using what five-letter word? Or he still is known for this.
I obviously know
Oscar
this
the Grouch. What five-letter word does Oscar the Grouch use to tell people to leave?
No clue.
You'd have no clue. Jeffrey, you know?
Yeah, scram.
No clue.
Scram! Scram! S-C-R-A-M. Scram! We're going to have to scram, Jamie. You played honorably, though, so you will be going to the ball game.
Yes, of course.
On Monday night. Jeffrey, your question, if you just want to add points to the board here, what Canadian musician got his start on Degrassi, The Next Generation, as Jimmy Brooks?
That would be Drake.
That is Drake, D-R-A-K-E. Another five-letter answer. All five-letter answers today in honor of your Tigers. If they lose next week, we'll all be 12-letter answers, Jeffrey.
Indeed.
But anyway, hey, we got March Madness on the TVs tonight. And if you want to play trivia, you will hear one or more of these questions. We'll be at the Evergreen Grill, Huey Southwind, Dan McGinnis South Haven, and Hampline Brewery. Hampline's got a special 7:30 start time tonight, starting a little bit later this week and next week during March Madness. But we will be playing inside and outside at Hampline. And all the TVs at every location we're at, including Music Bingo tonight. We're at Waldo's. So many TVs there. Great place to watch the game. Because by 7 tonight, your bracket is going to be busted. So you're going to want to win something. Might as well win some trivia or some Music Bingo. We'll be at our new location, Slider Inn, as well tonight. And tomorrow, while the games are on, we'll be back in Tupelo at Waldo's, Ghost River downtown here in Memphis, and the Huey Southwind playing Music Bingo. You can see the whole schedule, CerritoEntertainment.com. But, you know, you always need change of scenery, Jeffrey, for the second half
Split
of the day.
It up, yeah.
So come on out, play new some vibes. Trivia, play some bingo with us. So,
Jamie, we appreciate it, buddy. Tickets will be coming via email. That is Kevin Cerrito. That was Writer Than Right Trivia. Before we get out of here, Drew's got to tell us because he's got a big story coming up. What do you got, Drew?
Oh, just tweeted it
out. Let me try this here.
Out and out. Just tweeted it out. Had the pleasure of talking to Cam Jones' family. Cam Jones, the first Memphian to be named an All-American since Lorenzen Wright in 95, 96.
Great fun fact.
For Marquette, they will play on Friday night in the Big Dance. Wonderful story. Really, really cute. His great-grandmother, 87 years old, big fan. They caught her a T-shirt in the parachute drop at the Marquette game on senior night. She's all excited to watch him. Lots of stuff on Cam's background. Everybody should be cheering for Cam. Obviously a really big deal in the city, so make sure you go read that. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you to Jeff for joining us in the first hour. Thank you to Chris for joining us at 10 o'clock. I will be back tomorrow. We'll be breaking down the Tigers game against Colorado State. And we won't have to talk about another Grizzlies loss. So that'll be a good thing. We'll probably be in a much better mood when we're back here tomorrow. But until then, stay right here. Jason John coming up next.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie. But since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.